I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network. And in just one moment, it's been a long time since we have spoken with her. Nancy Pearl will be joining us. Nancy has been a regular guest of ours for years now. She is one remarkable librarian. I was spending a good portion of last night reading some of the reviews that she's written for books that she recommends. She does them for every month, October and what are we in now? October, September, August. And she made me want to read all of these books. It's just, oh, no, I can't believe I haven't read that. Nancy Pearl will be joining us. She is the author, of course, of Book Lust and More Book Lust and Book Crush. And she came up with that marvelous idea, if all of Seattle, because she's from Seattle at the moment, read the same book and that program spread all over the country. Nancy Pearl will be here to give us book recommendations in just one moment. What a valuable resource she is. What a great person she is. And how does she remember all of this? I do not know, but I'm glad she does because we all benefit from this. I'm Kathleen Dunn, and joining us in the studio is librarian Rhonda Fanning. No doubt got her the job here to produce for this program.
I was wondering how long that would take for you to That was record time, about a minute 20 seconds.
Was it?
I just want to start off the hour by thanking everyone who pledged last hour because we did make our goal and we got that extra $1,000 from the existing members. So thank you to everyone who pledged last hour, and I'm sure that you are going to love the Donald Dewey book, The Art of Ill Will.
Yes, you will.
Coming into this hour, yes, how excited are Kathleen and I that Nancy Pearl is here with
right.
us again. We do have a goal this hour of $9,000, so pledge in any amount at WPR.org or toll-free 888-202-2552. Every pledge matters.
It sure does. We'll be hearing from Nancy Pearl in just one moment, so get your – she can give you – right, you know, you ask her a question. What is a book about – well, we're going to start with dogs because that's the one that I want to read that she has several recommendations. But you want to hear about Three Men in a Boat, to say nothing of the dog? Have you read that?
No, huh?
You read her review, you're going to be reading that book. I'm not kidding you.
She's probably every publicist's best friend.
I know.
Because a good review from Nancy.
Right.
And good book sales.
That's right. So she'll talk about that. And if you have a need for a certain kind of book, Nancy will give you a great recommendation. Wisconsin Public Radio, though, is listener supported. And before we get those recommendations, we need to hear from you to keep this radio service strong. Your financial support, of course, is a huge part of what makes this program possible.
I know it's hard to put a price tag on the programming you love, but take a moment to think about how much Wisconsin Public Radio is worth to you, and then make your pledge of support accordingly at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Truly, we couldn't do this without you.
It's an important decision to make whether you want to be a listener or a listener contributor. And here's how you make it happen. You go to WPR.org, you fill in a form, and you'll be done. Or you can call 888-202-2552.
Again, our goal this hour is $9,000, so won't you be the first one to call? You can log on to our secure website at WPR.org or call one of our volunteers at 888-202-2552, and we can go so we can try to maybe stump Nancy with a book question or...
We never have stumped Nancy. I know. Her. In all these years, we have never stumped Nancy. John wrote a nice thing on the message board here about her. Isn't her last name... apropos, yes, it is. She is a pearl. I'm sure that's been said before, but
yes.
You can't repeat it too much. Thanks, Rhonda.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you a little bit later. Nancy Pearl is our guest. It's been a while since we've had a chance to speak with Nancy, and she's one of our favorite people, actually. She's written so many books, and we started interviewing her when Book Lust came out some time ago. She is the author of More Book Lust, Book Lust Journal. Now Read This, A Guide to Mainstream Fiction from 1990 to 2002, and Now Read This, A Guide to Mainstream Fiction 1978 to 1998. She's worked as a librarian, a bookseller in Detroit, Tulsa, and Seattle, and she is one remarkable reader, and she remembers all the things that she has read. She is a regular commentator each month on Morning Edition on National Public Radio. And if you ever are in need of a book suggestion, I want to let you know there is a book site that you can go to where Nancy gives her recommendations, Nancy Pearl's Picks, and they are marvelous recommendations of books you should read. They're done once a month. So we'll give you that website during the course of this hour so you can get suggestions. Our phone number on the air is 800-486-8655. If you need a book recommendation or want to talk about a fabulous book, that's what Nancy's here for. 800-486-8655. For you to join our conversation with Nancy Pearl. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi. I'm so happy to talk to you again.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, it's terrific.
I always look forward to this.
Yeah, and I spent a good portion of last night reading a lot of your reviews from, because it's been a few months since I've spoken with you, and you make me want to read everything now, absolutely everything. You got the review down too, Nancy, you know?
Well, I think that what a lot of people don't do in their reviews is make it clear why somebody would like that book. You know, I think they tend to look at the book that they're reviewing from their perspective almost, rather than this is why you would like this book.
Right.
And that's what I always try when I'm reading a book, to think, well, why would somebody else want to read this book? Not so much me. I mean, I can see what I liked about it and I can share that, but there has to be something that grabs the reader.
Right.
And I think a lot of reviewers forget that little part.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's start with, because we all need something funny, particularly these days. This is the first book I'm going to get that you've recommended. Three Men in a Boat to Say Nothing of the Dog. Every year at this time, you go back to that book. Why is that?
Well, it was written more than 100 years ago, and it is still as fresh and delightful as it was when it was written. Jerome K. Jerome, and who styles himself as the narrator of the book, Jay, and two of his friends go on a punt ride up the Thames, and they take along with them the one less than enthusiastic member of the journey, who is a little terrier, and that is the "to say nothing of the dog" part. And there are just wonderful parts in there. These guys are all hypochondriacs. They're all rather upper-class British gentlemen of the late Victorian period, and they just are not used to camping. There's very funny parts about trying to put up the tent and what it's like to go out when it's cold and wet and getting lost in the maze at Hampton Court. There's just wonderful parts in it. It just can't be beat.
And you read it every year at this time?
Well, I do, partly because in Seattle at this time it's getting dark and rainy, so I need something to kind of insulate myself against the lack of sunlight. And then partly, you know, as you said, the news today, these days, is just so oppressive,
right,
that I think it's always good to find something funny to read.
Right. And what's the name of the book you've recommended recently? You took this, I want you to talk about it a little bit. You took this wonderful hike, and there's a book recommendation. We were going to book that guest, actually, to renew your interest in all the places, the wonderful places in nature right around Seattle with some friends of yours. It was a great story.
Yes, I went. We went geocaching. I learned how to geocache, which is when you use a little GPS device to find various locations where other people have hidden things. And there's a website, I think it's geocaching.com. And in every city, I mean, I think there are 36 different sites in Antarctica alone. So in whatever, wherever someone is listening, I'm sure that there are sites near them. And it's just a wonderful reason to get out for a walk and, you know, just sort of dig around tree roots looking for these little hidden things. It's just great. It was just so much fun.
And it made you recommend a book as well, which we...
I did, yes.
Yes.
The book is called The Last Child in the Woods.
Right.
Saving Our Children from Nature Deficit Disorder. And it's a book that talks about, it's nonfiction by Richard Louv, L-O-U-V, and he talks about the importance of children being introduced to the natural world, which he thinks is and I would agree with him, as important as art or music, and how we're losing that. We're not giving that gift to our children the way we used to and how important it is to do that.
Mm-hmm. I think we both share this, and every now and then I don't feel like I know a lot about science, but I know that I love it, and I love space and reading books about it and talking to these marvelous scientists who I have no idea how their minds work.
I know.
But they give you a glimmer of understanding just because of the way they're able to show you their minds. And you learn about the things that are so mysterious, right?
Mm-hmm. And Richard Loeb, what I loved about this book is that his mantra might be, "No child left inside."
I like that, Nancy. We'll use that line again. Yeah, no child left inside, except during winter in Seattle and Milwaukee.
Yes, right, in the rain. And then we still have to try to go outside then anyway.
I know.
Just not to melt.
Right, with our doggies.
Right.
This one sounded interesting to me, and I don't think we've ever talked about this. You talk about loving books that take you behind the scenes of an organization and show you the personalities who make it work or not work, as the case may be. Hospital, man, woman, birth, death, infinity, plus red tape, bad behavior, money, God, and diversity on steroids. It sounded very interesting to me.
Well, I found this to be a very interesting book, and I do really admire reporters who can go into a place or a situation and get people to talk honestly about their reactions to it. And Julie Salomon is, I think that's a sign of a crackerjack reporter. And she went into Maimonides Hospital in Brooklyn and really talked to everyone from the janitors to the CEO about how the hospital works, what the issues are, what it's like to work in an urban hospital that is in such a diverse location. More than 60 different languages are spoken in the kind of catchment area around the hospital. It's an area in Brooklyn that is very heavily populated with Hasidic Jews and their relationship to the hospital, and how the hospital, as with all of these different ethnicities who make use of the hospital, how the hospital has to adapt to their different ways of their different needs. And just to hear, like, there's one, what, the book opens with a wonderful scene of a brand new resident who has come from sunny California to the wilds of Brooklyn. and he's a surfer dude, and he's on the subway taking his surfboard to try to find a place to surf. And just his reactions is just, I thought, a brilliant way of plunging us into this new place where we are going to be as lost and as befuddled as this new resident is obviously finding himself.
Yeah, sounds great. Let's go to phone calls. Our lines are all filled. We start with Dave from Port Wing. Hi, Dave.
Oh, my comment is that there's two books that I think should go on the shelf together, and I was wondering if you have a comment on it. One is Three Cups of Tea by Greg Mortensen, and the other one is Mountains Beyond Mountains by Tracy Kidder, which is about Paul Farmer, Dr. Paul Farmer.
Right.
Have you read those books?
I have read those books, and I agree with you. I think there are some books that really, reading them together or sequentially is a way of deepening each one of those books' impact. You know, they kind of reflect and refract off one another. And Tracy Kidder is one of those writers I was thinking of when I was talking about Julie Salomon's really biography of the Maimonides Hospital. He's somebody who can really get to the heart of the people that he talks about and the environments that he describes. Mm-hmm. Another book I think that might go on with those two books is, although it's a different topic, but I think it raises equally interesting issues, is Lost Highway, which is about Mexican immigrants coming across the border.
Hmm. Lost Highway. Okay. Thanks very much for the call. Let's go to Krista next. Hi, Krista.
Hi.
Hi.
I was just wondering if you wanted to make any suggestions or recommendations about David Foster Wallace. He's always been one of my favorite authors, and as you probably know, he committed suicide a few weeks ago. I was lucky enough about 12 years ago. I had him as an English professor.
Oh, you did?
Down at Illinois
State.
I understand he was a marvelous teacher.
He was Yeah. He probably was the most amazing teacher I ever had. Oh, yeah. He was so inspiring. So, but I have so many favorites, but I thought maybe you might want to share one of your favorites of his with us.
Well, I really, really remember when I first read The Broom of the System, which was his, I think it was his first novel. And I must have been quite young when I read it, and I was just blown away by it. So I would certainly recommend that. But what I think, where I think he's the most accessible, and yet his personality just shines through, are in his essays. And the essay, there's the collection called "Consider the Lobster," which I, what distinguishes his essays for me are his, they're always filled with footnotes that either contradict what he's saying or embellish what he's saying, and I just love the glimpse that we get of his mind and just how brilliant, brilliant he was. He has a wonderful essay in a collection. I think the collection is called something like "A Very Fun Thing I'll Never Do Again," which is his account of being on a cruise ship. And he has an essay in there about the importance of learning English, learning good English, grammatical English, and how he struggles with his students. Clearly not the caller, but struggles with many of his students, and his arguments for learning correct grammatical English. I think prescriptive rather than descriptive English, I think, is how he puts it in that. Hmm. So I think his nonfiction, I love his fiction, and I really did very much enjoy the big novel, whose name just went out of my head. But the nonfiction, I think, is a good place to start.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever done a cruise ship, Nancy?
You know, I did. I was invited to be one of the guests, one of the talents, one of the
there's
performers
a gig. Hey.
On a cruise ship. It was like, it was one of the highlights of my life. I would give anything to be asked again to do it.
She needs an invitation. Somebody listening is going to call you.
Right. It was so much fun, and I got to choose where I wanted to go. And so it was a way for me to get back to Australia, which is what I had really wanted to do. So it was wonderful.
Nice.
And it was just great talking about books with people. I did basically what I do with you, Kathleen. I just talked about good books to read in different sort of iterations.
Right, and have a little food on the side.
And have a lot of
a lot of food on the side. I know, that's what I like about it.
Yeah, right.
In his, he was a young guy. David was a young guy, and suicide is it really slaps us. You do have one of your book recommendations, I think, for October is The Suicide Index, Putting My Father's Death in Order,
yes,
which you recommend. Can you talk about that?
Yes. I think that this is a book that is really, it's just one of those books that sticks in your mind long after you finish the book. Joan Wickersham's father committed suicide when he was 61 years old, and that was about 10 years before. It happened, she started writing the book about a decade afterwards. And in this book, she looks at the reasons, as far as anybody can understand them, about why her father did this. He woke up in the morning, he went downstairs, he made a cup of coffee for her mother, he brought it up, put it next to her mother. Her mother was still sleeping in bed, and then went into his den, took out a gun, and shot himself.
Hmm.
And the book is arranged in a very interesting way. She arranges it, each chapter is as though it were an entry in an index. So there'll be chapters like suicide, literary allusions to, and then she'll talk about that. But one of the things she talks about in the book is just how hostile an act of suicide is, because it's the final word, and you can never... you can never answer back to that person. And that the suicide, there's a quote from William Maxwell, the great novelist William Maxwell, used to be was once the fiction editor at the New Yorker before his death. And he said, a suicide just doesn't kill him or herself. He kills everybody around him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a book that is painful to read, but it's a book that is so thought-provoking and brave and unflinching and honest. There's some memoirs that you still these days, you doubt whether what happened the way the author says it happened. You know, they seem so ballooned and embellished. But this is a book that there's not an extra word in there. You just know that this is what happened and this is the way it happened. And the last thing that I was struck by in this book is how those people who have survived a suicide in their families or among their friends, it's almost like a secret club, and they seek each other, not that they seek each other out, but that they're bonded in some way that those people who haven't suffered that don't have that same bond.
I'm sure that's true. Nancy Pearl is our guest, wonderful librarian, and we're welcoming phone calls for her book recommendations. Let me tell you, this woman has them. She has read so many books. She also, and we'll get that website from her, remind myself to do that in just a moment, she reviews books. She has recommendations each month. She's a commentator on Morning Edition on National Public Radio. She's the author of a number of books, Book Lust, More Book Lust, I'm just mentioning a few of them, and Book Crush, recommendations for kids and for teenagers. Our phone number, one line is open. If you'd like to grab it, now's the time, 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Returning to phone calls for Nancy, and let's go to Mary from Richfield. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, I have a question on a light note. We love the quirky Florida writers like Carl Hiaasen, Tim Dorsey, Randy Wainwright.
Uh-huh.
Do you have anybody else you could recommend that we can look for? We've read all their books so far.
Well, there's two women writers that I think, they're not Florida writers, they're mostly, one's California and one's, I think both are California, but they have the same insouciance and the same sort of irreverence that those writers have. And one is a woman named Lisa Lutz, L-U-T-Z. Her first book is, I think, called The Spellman File. That could be her second book. I get them confused. And the other one that I think is absolutely wonderful, oh my gosh, what's her name? She's a soap opera star, but also writes books.
Huh.
And her name is...
We have a pause coming up. Just think of it in a while. It's okay.
Okay. Her the name of the character is a woman named Wollstonecraft Shelley. And it's just great delight to read. Oh, my gosh. All right, I'll find it.
You'll find it. Don't worry.
Okay.
Yeah,
anyway, those two, I think, those two authors are both just enormously fun.
Fun, and that's what we're looking for.
Yeah.
You're looking for fun.
Yeah, try those. Even though they're probably library probably has them in the mystery section.
Okay.
They're not heavy-duty mysteries.
Can I ask you one more question?
Sure.
I've been looking for books about expatriates in tropical climates, that sort of thing. Do you have any ideas there?
Expatriates in tropical climates.
Yeah, the kind of Bougainvillea circuit.
You bet.
Yes, there's a wonderful novel by Francesca Marciano, and it is it's set in Nairobi. Would that be tropical enough for you?
Well, it could work.
And it's called Rules of the Wild.
Okay.
And it's a novel. Did you want nonfiction or
either?
Well, that would be a good place to start.
Okay.
Rules of the Wild. And then I think if you go to the library and or even Google expatriate autobiographies or memoirs, you know, you'll find a list.
Oh,
I mean,
you don't want to
forget, somehow Africa is on my mind, but you don't want to forget Isaac Dinesen.
Right.
And I guess we can't, and if we're going to talk about expatriates, we have to talk about British expatriates, and we have to talk about Gertrude Bell. And there's a wonderful biography of Gertrude Bell and her life in the Middle East.
Oh, I don't know her. Great.
Oh, Gertrude Bell actually is the woman who, in 1921, after the First World War, at the Cairo Conference, drew the boundaries of present-day Iraq.
Oh.
And she chose the first king of Iraq, the man who would be the first king. She founded the Baghdad Museum of Antiquities. and her reading her life, and there's a relatively new book out. It's now out in paperback by Georgina Howell. Is like reading the best novel that you could imagine.
Hmm.
It's fabulous.
Yeah, we should have her on. Her name has come up so often. We just haven't done a show yet on Gertrude Bell. So
yes,
we will.
Be interesting.
We promise. Thanks very much, Mary, for your call.
Thank you.
Nancy Pearl is our guest this hour. You see, what you love about Nancy is somebody... And our listeners, somebody wants a book about expatriates living in tropical climates. And there it is in the top of Nancy Pearl's head. Several suggestions, not just one. That's wonderful. Nancy will be with us, and we're doing book recommendations this hour of our program and welcoming your calls on air at 800-486-8655. One line is open if you'd like to get it. Joining us in our studios now is librarian and producer of this program, Rhonda Fanning, and we're here to ask for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio because it's your contribution today, particularly making the work of WPR possible. Easy to make your donation. Just go online at WPR.org or call toll-free this number, 888-202-2552. Hello again, Rhonda.
Hi, Kathleen. Again, we have that $9,000 goal this hour, and we are, roughly $8,500 away from that goal.
It's a bit.
So won't you be the next caller at 888-202-2552, or you can go on our website at WPR.org.
And Nancy is our guest this hour. We're happy to have her with us on a continuing basis because she enjoys coming on Wisconsin Public Radio. Our guests know that they will get an hour of intelligent discourse. They'll get great questions from our listeners, and they won't be interrupted by commercials. And so we're happy to have them, and they come to us frequently.
That's right. Oftentimes, I don't have to get them. They come to me. They keep coming back because they love our listeners, and so do we. And right now, we're asking for listener support. It's the most reliable portion of our funding for Wisconsin Public Radio, and I want to thank you in advance for making your pledge. You can go online at WPR.org or call toll-free at 888-202-2552.
And you may be asking yourself, how much should you give? That, of course, is something that you should decide. Your membership in any amount will be turned into great programming day after day after day after day that will keep you informed, as it well does, entertained throughout the next year. Log in at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 right now and pledge absolutely any amount.
Well, at that $120 level, Kathleen, they will become a member and get that Wisconsin Public Radio membership card for the 2-for-1 dinners at restaurants throughout the state of Wisconsin, the 2-for-1 night stays at bed and breakfasts, and 2-for-1 admission to a bunch of arts and cultural events throughout the state. Members of Wisconsin Public Radio help us do this essential work of bringing you the information and the programming that you hear here each and every day. So click and join at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you to those that have already called in a pledge.
Yeah, thank you. We have had some wonderful comments here of people who really consider Wisconsin Public Radio a lifeline for them, a community for them, and we all learn so much every day. It's part of a life well lived to include Wisconsin Public Radio and to donate now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Thanks, Rhonda.
Thank you.
Nancy Pearl is our guest with her book recommendations. And I want to ask you, too, Nancy, the website that we go to, I don't even remember how I got to your website that gave all these terrific recommendations. So once people leave here, they can go to that website. Is there an easy one to go to?
Well, libraries subscribe to this website called Pearl's Pick. And,
okay.
And so I send it to the libraries. And one of the libraries that does subscribe is Milwaukee Public Library.
Okay.
So you can go into their website and find find the books. Every month I recommend 12 different books, and I try to do a wide variety of them and have a great time reading to do that and just thinking about what I want to suggest to people.
Yeah, you do a wonderful job with it. Sandy is our next caller from Madison. Hi, Sandy. Oh, my goodness. What's going on?
I'm calling from my partner Eric and I. We love to read in bed to each other at night, last thing before we go to sleep. And we're looking for suggestions the things that are good reads out loud.
Oh, good. All right.
Oh, that's, let's see, good reads out loud. What you want is, I think, a writer who can really, who does a wonderful job at description. I don't think you want something too heavy, because I think that would make it hard to go to sleep. You know, you might want something like Armchair Travel or Armchair Adventure, even if it's not too adventurous. I mean, I'm thinking of John Krakauer's Into Thin Air and how you probably wouldn't go to sleep because you'd be so, you know, you would get sort of, your mind would get roiled up with all that kind of thing. So I think you want more the armchair kind of Peter Mayall sort of books. I Bought a House In, that kind of thing, I think would be good. There's a great novel that's just out, which I thoroughly enjoyed, which is called, the book is called What Happened to Anna Kay, and it's a retelling of Anna Karenina in 2007 in New York, in the Bronx. She's a Russian immigrant in a whole community there, and it's just, I thought, would make a very good book for reading out loud.
That sounds good, too. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks so much for your call. Let's go to some of your reviews. I think these were from maybe September or August. This one sounded interesting to me, and I don't know if you've done a lot of recommendations of poetry. Maybe we'll do a show on poetry sometime. Fidelity by Grace Paley, who died last year, and you talk about, I love these, when you say that the voice is unmistakable, you never forget certain books, and this is one of them, Nancy, that you feel this way about.
I do. I was a fan of Grace Paley's for a long time, and what I loved most was her short stories. I wasn't really familiar with her poetry until this book came out, and it's a book that is a little bit uneven. There are some wonderful, wonderful poems and some poems that are not quite up to what I think she would have wanted them to be had she had time to work on them more. But it's, maybe I'm being presumptuous to say that. Maybe she thought they were perfect. But but I thought what struck me about these books, these poems, was the way she thought about death and about growing old, and about the loss of friends and what that all meant to her. And I thought that it was a very moving book and a book that a lot of people would find something that resonated with them in it.
Let's go next to Frank from Madison. Hi, Frank.
Hello.
Hi.
Marvelous guest, as always. I have a task for our librarian, which is, would she be able to suggest a really good popular book on the life, the history of life on Earth, you know, that's directed towards the common man?
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps as part of that, is there any recent really good book on the life of Darwin? And I would like to suggest one book of my own, which is Neil Shubin's Your Inner Fish, which is a beautiful account of how science is done, and the science explained is absolutely of the best sort, and everyone can understand it. And so you will understand what happens when you pick up the phone with your five-digit hand to pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Oh, Frank, you're a sweetheart.
And you will also know what's really happening when you get hiccups. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Frank. Nancy.
Well, certainly that book, The Inner Fish, Your Inner Fish, is one that could easily be recommended for the general reader. That's who he wrote it for, and that's I think it's that kind of book. You know, there are a lot of books that are that kind of popular science books that talk about that kind of thing. I guess one of them that I found interesting was a book called The Selfish Gene, G-E-N-E. Which, to me, helped explain why we behave the way we do. Not so much why we are the way we are, but why we behave that way. So that's a place where I would start, would be with that Selfish Gene book, and then go from there.
Thanks, Frank, as always, for your calls. Joan from Spooner. Hi, Joan.
Hi. My question is, I'd like the opinion of Nancy Pearl on a book that I found fascinating and really enjoyed. It's it won the Booker Man Prize last year, Gathering by Anne Enright. And I recommended it when I read it to a couple of my friends, and they did not like it at all.
Hmm.
And so I thought, gee, I better go and read it again, see whether I missed something. Why they didn't like it, and I loved it. And I'm wondering if you're familiar with it, because it's an unusual book in the sense that it's been compared, the quality of writing has been compared to James Joyce and a lot of, I can't think of the woman who lost her husband last year and wrote a book about grief.
Joan Didion.
Oh, Joan Didion. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes, Joan Didion. Right. And I'm just wondering if you're familiar with it, if you haven't read it, and it's a stream of consciousness writing. So that's kind of off-putting for some people, and I just wonder.
Right. Well, first of all, I have to say, I was just in Cable last week.
Were you really?
I was, and driving back to the Minneapolis airport, we drove through Spooner. I met the wonderful Spooner librarians.
Oh!
who were just a delight. They were all sitting together at the table at the luncheon where I was speaking, and it was great. So I feel like I know exactly
where you're coming from,
and but I have to say, I did read The Gathering, or I did try to read it,
uh-huh.
And I just, when I was reading it, and I think the reason people like or don't like books, a lot of it depends on mood, and a lot of it, of course, you know, depends, as you said, that it's stream of consciousness, and that puts some people off. What I was disappointed in was that I just didn't think, I felt like I had read that story before.
Hmm.
You know, the Irish family that's too big and the, you know, the everything that's happening. I mean, I felt like a book that I loved even better, you know, the book that I compared it to in my mind was by Nuala O'Fuaylon called My Dream of You.
Right.
And that book, I thought, did it all. And the Enright book, I just could not get into it.
Uh-huh.
So,
well, I my husband read it, and he found it a little off-putting because he didn't empathize with the main character.
Right.
But he read it again when I read it again, and we read it carefully, and I could open that book anywhere and find something fascinating.
Yeah.
But I love the quality of the writing. Well, I thank you for your comments.
Thanks, Joan.
Bye-bye.
How delightful that you were in. I love Cable, Wisconsin. Isn't it a lovely spot?
It is. I was at Redberry Books there, and then I happened to spend some money at the kind of gift shop down on the bottom floor where Redberry Books is.
Yes.
Called Firefly.
Yes, yes.
And I bought a beautiful pair of earrings and a necklace, which I hope someday you'll see, Kathleen.
I hope so too, Nancy. Oh, that's great. Let's go to Jerry from Waukesha. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
Thank you for your program, and I really appreciate it. And it's a pleasure to speak with you, Nancy.
Thank you.
My question is, I am a very beginning children's picture book writer, and my manuscript is just about completed. I wanted to know if you could recommend some fairly new children's authors that you like that I could read.
There are so many of them. There are so many. Let me just tell you some books, okay, that I really like, some picture books of different sort of sorts, so you can get an idea of what's out there. There's a wonderful book called Adele and Simon, about two little a brother and sister in Paris at the same time as the book Madeline. Was set. There's a book by Patrick O'Malley, a series of very funny picture books by Patrick O'Malley. His newest one is called Gimme Cracked Corn. So you sort of a takeoff on Gimme Cracked Corn and I Don't Care.
Mm-hmm.
Gimme Cracked Corn and I Don't Care.
Mm-hmm.
A Kitten Tale by Eric Roman is another good one. And I think if you're trying to sell your picture book, the thing to do is to find a picture book that has the same feel that yours does, see who the publisher is, but especially try to find out who the agent was who sold that book, because try to get in touch with that agent. And often you can find the agents because the authors will, in their acknowledgments or dedications, it'll be dedicated to the agent.
Hmm.
And most publishers do not want a fin. They just want the text. They don't want text and pictures because they want to find their own illustrator to do that. That's how I've always understood it.
Thanks, Jerry, very much for the call. Extraordinary librarian Nancy Pearl is our guest here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We go back to phone calls for Nancy Pearl. Caroline from Wauwatosa is next. Hi, Caroline.
Hello.
Hi.
I know someone who's going to be doing a tour in Iraq next month. He reads science fiction. I know nothing about authors in that genre. And I was wondering if she could recommend some books I could buy. Yes. And I will take your off the air.
Okay.
I love science fiction. So here's some wonderful writers. Dan Simmons, his book Ilium is one. He has a series, the first book in that series is Hyperion, and those are absolutely great. There's, I think, a wonderful novel called The Forever War by Joe Haldeman, and that was written after Joe Haldeman's experiences in Vietnam, so it's an older title, but it's just been reissued, so it's available. It's one of those science fiction books that I go back to and read again and again and again. The kind of hard science fiction, you know, you can tell the difference. Somebody once said you could always tell the difference between science fiction and fantasy, that if there are rivets on the cover, that means it's science fiction, and if there's foliage, that means it's fantasy. So if you're browsing through the science fiction section, you want through the fantasy and science fiction section, you want to look for those rivets on the cover. First, hard science fiction, Greg Bear, B-E-A-R, is a really good writer to be aware of. I still love I think they're the comfort books for me, the children's books, the books for young teens by Robert Heinlein, Space Cadet, Red Planet, Between Planets. But you can't go wrong with the Dan Simmons Hyperion series at all. He's fabulous.
Thanks so much for calling, and let's go to Lida from Toma. Hi, Lida.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
I would like to recommend, if I have the title correct, The Story of Edgar Seidel, which is set in northern Wisconsin. It's a thick book. I read it very slowly because I did not want it to end. The other question I have is, would you repeat the name of the author of the essays that you mentioned? Fun things that I've done, but won't do again?
That I'll never do again.
I'm driving in my car to Wausau, and I'm trying to write down at the same time.
Oh, be careful.
Be careful.
Right.
The author of that is David Foster Wallace, W-A-L-L-A-C-E. The name of the woman who writes funny mysteries is Harley Jane Kozak, K-O-Z-A-K. And the story of Edgar Seidel is, of course, Oprah's pick for this month, another one of her great choices. And it's a book for anyone who, I mean, to have the caller say she didn't want it to end, that's the best. Sort of the best recommendation
that you can
make for a book, isn't it?
It sure is.
You know, and it is a wonderful story, and it is set in northern Wisconsin. So I would recommend that as well.
Thank you very much for the call, Nancy. Always such a great pleasure. I wish you could come over election night and join the group, and we could look at results and talk about books. And
oh, I wish I could, too. I wish I lived in Milwaukee.
I do, too. Thanks, Nancy, so much.
Thank you,
great
Kathleen.
Pleasure, as always.
Okay.
And just a reminder that you can get these book reviews, if you haven't, they are go to the Milwaukee Public Library website, and Nancy's picks will be there. So each month you can get recommendations, and she writes beautiful reviews of the books that have captured her fancy during the month. So if you're looking for recommendations, she will not steer you wrong. There's no doubt about that. As one of our pledgers who called in this hour said, yay for Nancy Pearl. How true. I'm Kathleen Dunn, joined in the studio by Rhonda Fanning, producer of this program, and we're here to ask for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio because your contribution makes the work of Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Easy to make a donation. Just go online at WPR.org or call toll-free 888-202-2552. We need your support. Hi, Rhonda.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hello.
That's right. We have a goal this hour of $9,000, and we're about $8,500 from that goal. So we're going to need a few more calls this hour. Your pledge will help us reach that goal and stay on track financially. I just want to touch off something that Nancy had said about a book, and I think a caller had mentioned it, but, you know, a great book when you get to the end and you just don't want it to be the end. How many times have you thought that about an hour of programming on Wisconsin Public Radio? We have a whole hour, and you think that that's just a lot of time, but you get to the end and, you know, you say, where does that hour go?
Right.
But you tune in the next day, and we have two more hours here with Kathleen Dunn each and every day. So please pledge your support online at WPR.org, or you can give us a call at 888-202-2552 and allow us to keep bringing you that programming day after day.
Just think about how important it is to talk about books and to talk with Nancy Pearl, who is just an amazing resource and has been for us for years. If you've ever listened to her and gone to a book that she recommended, if you've gone to her reviews, if you listen to her on the radio, she's such a treasure. Please call. This is the caliber of guests that you hear all the time. And the only place you'll hear recommendations of books is public radio, listening to her right here. To have access to this kind of person is quite priceless. So think about it and make your pledge online at WPR.org or call toll-free at 888-202-2552. Let us know you appreciate books.
That's right. Join your friends, neighbors, and fellow book lovers in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. It takes the support of everyone who listens to make this radio station as good as it can be and get these kinds of guests that we have, like Nancy Pearl. When you go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 and make your pledge, you'll be doing your part to ensure that you'll always have the news, information, book recommendations, librarians, information that you need each and every day. Call 888-202-2552.
The Ideas Network has worked very hard, and we continue to work hard to bring you everything that you need to know this election season, to bring you book recommendations for reading that'll get you away from the election season for a while. And believe me, we work hard at what we do, and Rhonda, in the early days of the election, had all kinds of wonderful guests. We've been covering this for forever. We are reminded of this because tonight we'll be having the presidential debate. NPR will be covering that at 8 o'clock this evening. If you rely on us for that, in addition to things like great books to read, please call with your support right now.
That's right. That was really fun during the primary season because it lasted so long, and primaries
right.
were mattering that had never mattered before in states, and it was fun seeking out professors from universities within each state, and just we met a lot of new people from around the country during that season. It was just a great time.
Mm-hmm.
But not just the election, but we bring you other important domestic policy issues such as health care, foreign policy issues with the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, the economy, the price of oil. It just goes on and on. You know you can depend on us for the really important issues that matter to you. But can we depend on your contribution to help fund this important work right now? So please pledge online at WPR.org or you can call us toll-free at 888-202-2552.
I've listened all over the country, you know, traveling, you try to find the public stations. What we have here is so wonderful, and I don't think a lot of people realize it. And it is, for many people, I think it's, they can't get out, but they can find out what's going on by turning on the radio. I'm John Ink from Wausau, And Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for education and information. It comes to you. You don't have to go hunt it down.
To provide great radio, we need to pay the bills just like any other business. We need to pay for our microphones, our computers, our telephones, our towers, office chairs, printer, paper. WPR pays the bills with the help of listeners like you. So please go ahead and contribute right now online at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
And if you can, consider maybe pledging at that $1,000 level. It'll provide essential support for Wisconsin Public Radio, helping us in our mission to bring you the programming that you value each and every day. And it'll also maybe, you know, help that person who can't afford to pledge at that level. Make your pledge now in any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Pledge because tonight you're going to watch the debate, listen to the debate, and tomorrow we're going to talk about it. And we're going to have a great conversation. That's right.
We don't know with who yet, but we'll figure it out.
Find somebody. So pledge for that, okay? We brought you through all of this. We have a chance to talk about it together. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thank you, Rhonda Fanning, so much.
Thank you.
Rhonda Fanning, our producer of this hour. And thanks also to John Treader, our great volunteer. And thanks, everybody, to all of you who have pledged this hour and all hours. I'm Kathleen Dunn. News coming up in a moment. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.